timeless theme. Earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am, we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, all the nations bow down to sing. The only sound is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, so there's no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am, we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, there's a mansion prepared for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am, we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb.
It's a reality. Heaven is a reality. I think sometimes when folks think of heaven, they think of fables and stories and dreams. Heaven is a reality. It's a real place. It's where we're going. We're going to heaven. Amen. And I requested that song to be sang tonight because I know that there's folks in our church fellowship. You have just recently said goodbye to a loved one, or a loved one is very sick. And it may be soon that you say goodbye. And then there's some here tonight that, well, you're not sick, but very soon you may say goodbye. If you're saved, there's no need to dread. There's no need to dread. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. What a wonderful place that is. I read about it in this book. It's a wonderful place. I long for it from time to time. I'm like any other human. I certainly enjoy my life here. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I get to serve God, but I do long for heaven. I'm looking forward to going there. And if you're not, then, well, I don't know what to tell you other than just please make sure that that's where you're going. Make sure that's where you're going. A lot of people sit in churches and they sing about heaven. They hear preaching about heaven. They even talk about heaven. But they've never prepared themselves to go there. And so I want to really encourage you, examine yourself. See whether you be in the faith. It's very important. Now there would be some that would say, are you wanting me to doubt my salvation? Not at all. I just want you to make sure of it. Just want you to make sure of it. Make sure now. Be a terrible thing. You know, I use that analogy a lot of a man who climbed and climbed and climbed the ladder and finally made it to the top only to find out that he had the ladder leaning up against the wrong building. He didn't wind up where he thought he was going to. And so the Bible speaks of those who that will happen to with their soul. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talked about in the day of judgment, many will say, Lord, Lord. And they began to talk about all that they did. But the one thing that they left out, they talked about casting out devils and prophesying. But they never mentioned repenting of their sin and by faith, trusting the finished work of Christ. That's the way you prepare yourself for heaven. And I'm glad that I've made that preparation. I was talking with a man this morning, Brother Russell Smith, and he said, tell me what you think. I said, well, I think we're all going to heaven. He said, I know I am. Amen. I appreciate that response. And he said, I've made my reservations. And I said, well, amen, Brother Russell, you got me. Amen. You have your Bible open to Philippians chapter number 4. We have studied through this book verse by verse, and I want to continue this study. We'll pick up next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, in our Sunday morning study of the book. But tonight I had a message on my heart that I wanted to share with you here in Sunday night. A lot of times we have visitors in our Sunday morning services, and it's just a little different. I appreciate visitors, don't you? I appreciate people who will come and visit with us, and hopefully they'll prayerfully consider joining up and serving God with us here in this ministry. I appreciate people who come and visit to find out, you know, what the church is about. And hopefully as they hear the gospel and as the Spirit of God ministers through their heart, those that are not saved will be saved. Some of you sitting here, that's what happened to you. You went to a church. Possibly it was this church. Some of you, it was this church. And you said, I'm going to go see what that church is about. And you went to the church or came here and you heard the gospel and you got saved. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Amen. Amen. You thought you were going to find out about God, and God found out about you. He searched you out and showed you, and you trusted Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of a church family, and that's what this particular fourth chapter opens up. You'll recall as we have been studying through the book, it appears that the book of Philippians, that church there at Philippi, was a church that was very near and dear to the heart of the Apostle Paul. And we've kind of gone through and we've determined by the scripture that the word joy and gladness and rejoice is mentioned several times in the book. I've counted about 17. You may find a different number. You may find a little more, a little less. But it's right around that number, about 17 times. Joy, rejoicing, gladness. It's a book of joy. The church at Philippi, we even went back in the book of Acts and seen how it was started on Paul's second missionary journey. And how that he ministered to the people there, to Lydia. And then there was the jailer. And then, of course, there was the woman that had divination of spirits and how he had to rebuke her and how this church was founded. And I believe that the Apostle Paul grew very close to this church. It was a place that he loved to be with these people, and he loved to write to them. One of the things that I want to ask you to remember in particular tonight is that this and other letters, and I'm not going to show you from the scripture, but I will, and I have before, but I ask you to remember these letters were read in other areas. In other words, this letter, as it was sent to the church at Philippi, those are not the only people that read this letter. Even as today, we're reading this letter. This was a letter that was sent to these people there. The same with The letter to the Galatians, the churches there. The letter to the church at Rome and the Corinthians, the two letters that were written there, and so on and so forth. These letters were circulated. And eventually, God said, I want these letters to become a part of what we call the canon of Scripture. We know it as the Bible. And so we're reading this letter that was first sent out to those people that were there in that little colony there called Philippi. And so I want to talk to you about the love of the Apostle Paul for this church. Now, Paul loved, I believe he talked about in 2 Corinthians, and Pastor Brandon brought this out admirably last Sunday night, about how that he had the care of all the churches. And he loved the churches, and he would report on those churches, and he would send different of his workers, his staff. There was Titus, and there was Dr. Luke, and then there was Timothy, and there were Silas. There was others that he would send to kind of check, and sometimes he and Barnabas would go back, and they would come back and report on the churches. Very similar to our mission program here, Fellowship Baptist Church, and the mission program today. Now, when we read these first three verses, we see something in the heart of the Apostle Paul. Paul loved these people. Now, I believe he loved all the churches, but I believe that the church Philippi was a church that was very dear to his heart. And I believe that the Apostle Paul was, I believe he was just so happy that the church was growing and they were rejoicing, they were winning people to Christ, and God was using them. But, you know, as with every church, there's always the potential for a little problem. You know, every church has problems, doesn't it? Every church has problems. You know why? Why is that? You say, well, it's because of the devil. Okay, it's possible. I think it's because of you and me. It's because we're human beings. Human beings present problems. We're different. We're going to have misunderstandings. Jesus said in Luke 17, it is impossible but that offenses will come. You know, you're going to have a rift. You're going to have a misunderstanding. Going to be a little squabble. And if you've been in church any length of time, you've had a difference with someone, right? So it's not if we're going to have a difference, if you're going to kind of have a squabble or a disagreement. That's not the question. It's going to happen. The question would be, how are you going to respond to it? How am I going to respond to it? Well, that came up here. And it appears that there was these two individuals that had a little squabble and a little difference, and they just, for whatever reason, wouldn't work it out, or either couldn't work it out. I don't know. I believe most of the time it's just will not instead of cannot. I believe there's a lot of things we say that we cannot do that it's just simply that we will not do. It's not that it's not within our power to do it. It's not within our will to do it. And so I think that's what happens here. Now I want to remind you as we turn back just for a moment in chapter number 1, the love that Paul had for this church, because it's going to play a role in how we see how he deals with this problem. See, when you love people, you deal with problems differently. And I want to make this very clear. See, when we ought to love one another. We're brethren. We're brethren. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're a family. And families ought to love one another. And I believe that has to do with the physical and the spiritual family. You ought to love one another. And we're going to have differences, and there's a right way to handle our offenses and our differences. Paul loved these people, and we're going to see how he dealt with the problem in love. It was a very sensitive situation, no doubt. And I see where Paul used great discretion and wisdom as he dealt with this problem. Now, you may be having a problem with somebody at Fellowship Baptist Church right now. It may be with me, and I don't even know about it. You know, you may think, well, I haven't spoke to the pastor in three services. I'm really showing him. I don't know who you are. Hey, man, what are you trying to show me? You see, that's the way the devil makes people think, though. I'll show him. I'll look him right in the eye. I won't even shake his hand. I didn't realize that. All right? So it's not working. Stop it. Just come to me and tell me we have a problem. We have a problem, and I'd like some of your time so we can discuss this. And we may have to get a third party as Paul dealt with this situation here. But we're going to get to Listen, we're going to get to the bottom of the problem and get it resolved scripturally so that we can both serve God and move forward and not disrupt the harmony and the unity of the church. It's important. So it's not a matter, is Fellowship Baptist Church going to encounter problems? It has, it is, and it shall. It's going to happen. How are we going to respond to them? Well, let's look at the scripture in a church setting of how God expects us to do it. All right? Now, I want you to notice, if we're going to do it right, it's going to take this ingredient. Look at chapter number 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Amen. Now, here's a man that wanted these people to know. Now, he knew what was coming later on in the letter. All right? He knew he was going to have to address the situation. But he told him right up front, you know what? Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. Now, what's he saying here? He said, you're on my mind. You're on my mind. I thank my God, look at it, upon every remembrance. I think of you often. Why? Because I love you. Then look, if you would, in verse number 7. Even as it is meet for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart. Remember us talking about this. Now, you see, when somebody's in your mind, and somebody's on your heart, it always leads to verse number 9. It always does. Verse number 9. And this I pray. And he began to pray for the Philippian believers. You see, it goes together. You pray for people you love, and you love people you pray for. Amen? It just goes together. When you love people, you pray for them. And the people you pray for, you will either love them or grow to love them. God will work that work in your heart. And so Paul started out, and we talked about this. And notice how he worked up to this. And look, if you would, in chapter number 2, just for a moment. In chapter number 2, he mentioned in verse number 1, any fellowship of the Spirit. What a hint. Look, if you would, in verse number 2 of chapter 2. Fulfill ye my joy. How are we going to do that, Paul? That ye be like-minded. Amen. Setting up. He's setting up. The Spirit of God is getting ready to allow him to address something. Now, that doesn't mean that this is feigned, that this is not real. It's real. It's sincere. But it shows when you love people, you can handle things a certain way. And when you do not love people, you can destroy people. You can hurt people when you begin to try to correct and try to address things when you do it from your heart instead of the heart that God gives you. Notice what he said in verse number 3. He said, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. See, he's setting up. He said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then this is the height. This is where it reaches the pinnacle. Let this mind be in you, verse number 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what is Paul doing here? The Apostle Paul is teaching us something. He said, you know, when you deal with people, when you serve with people, when you live with people, when you attend church and worship with people, you're going to have to understand it's not always going to go the way you expect it to go. It's not always going to have the outcome that you expect it to have. There's going to be some differences. There's going to be some misunderstandings where people from different backgrounds with different likes and dislikes, many come from different social backgrounds. And so what do we do? Well, we have this fellowship. We talked about that, okay? It's a mutual connection that we have. And he mentioned it in chapter number 1, the fellowship of the gospel. This is what we have in common, that we have received the gospel. Remember that? Look at it again when he mentioned it in chapter number 1 and verse number 5. He talked about your fellowship in the gospel. Right? That means, hey, you're saved. You know what it is to be saved. You know what it is to have Christ to work in your heart. You have that fellowship in the gospel. You have that mutual bond, that standing together. You're going to serve together in the church, and there's going to be some differences. Someone's going to do something that doesn't sit well with you. It may be the pastor. It may be a deacon. It may be a musician. It may be an usher. It may be someone who serves in a committee that you serve in. It may be someone that serves in a ministry that you serve in. It may be none of the above. It may be just somebody attending the church and that sits on the exact opposite side of the church that you sit on, and yet there's going to be a problem. How are you going to deal with it? Well, I just won't speak to them. That's not dealing with the problem. That's not dealing with the problem. Well, I'll avoid them. I won't even make eye contact with them. I see them coming, I'll go the other direction. That's not dealing with the problem. That's allowing a problem to fester. That's allowing it to grow. That's giving place to the devil. And Ephesians 4 says we're not to do that. We're to confront. We're to address. We're to lovingly take care of these matters. So we go back to now to chapter number 4. And I could go on and show you some other scripture, but I want to get to this and get right into it. And then I'll give you just a few thoughts and we'll pick up here, the Lord willing, next Sunday morning. But I want to leave something with you. All right? Look at this in chapter 4. Therefore, he's been leading up to this. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, what's happening here? You know, I entitled this message in my notes, I Love My Church. I do love my church. I love this place. You say, well, you should. You're the pastor. Well, I love it for other reasons than just being able to be your pastor. I love this church. I love you. I love what God is doing here. I love being a part of what God is doing here. I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad that I get to be a part of Fellowship Baptist Church. You say, well, you're just saying that. Yes, I am just saying it because I mean it. You know, you ought to feel that way. I believe many of you do. Perhaps most of you. I don't know. I think that the proof, as the old timers used to say, is in the pudding. I think that most people love Fellowship Baptist Church that are a part of it. Look at what the Apostle Paul said here. And I want you to think about this. He makes an appeal. Write this down. He makes an appeal to the people. Now, I want you to notice the way the Apostle Paul makes an appeal to these people. Notice what he said here. Therefore, my brethren. You see that there? You know, if we're not careful, we'll read that term, and I've done it many times. Paul uses this word a lot. But I want you to think about something with me just for a moment, okay? I thought about this past week when I was looking up this word and just doing a little background search. I ran across the time when the Apostle Paul got saved. He was Saul then. Back in Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 9, we know the story of Saul, okay? We don't have to rehearse that. Now, some of you may not know it as well as others, but I mean, listen, Saul hated Christians. He hated Christians. Can I tell you, the Bible doesn't say, I'm not going to say that Christians hated him, but I don't think he was on their friend list. Amen. I don't think nobody Facebook friended Paul. Amen? I don't think they did. As a matter of fact, I think they probably had a strong dislike for him. We won't say hatred. I just don't think they liked old Saul. I mean, this man hunted them down like animals. Drug them out of their homes. Persecuted them. Killed them. And here he is now calling them a very, very sensitive, it's a term of endearment, brethren. Think about that. Brethren. Man, these people used to be my enemies. I used to love to hunt them down like animals and kill them, drag them out in the street and humiliate them. Tell them to recant their faith. Recant their faith. Deny Jesus Christ. And now I'm calling them my brethren, my brothers, my sisters. It's quite a change. Paul said, I want you to know I love you. You know what I believe really helped Paul here? I was just going to reference it, but I want you to turn to it. Go back to Acts chapter number 9. You're familiar with this, right? Paul gets saved. And you know how he gets saved. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him. And the glory of the Lord shone about, and it was brighter than the midday sun. And he confronted Saul there, and he confronted him and said, Saul, Saul, and why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? In verse number 5 of Acts chapter 9, he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And you know the story here, how he was blind, and he sent Ananias to him. He sent Ananias to him, and if you'll look in verse number 17, Now here's a man, now watch this, okay? Don't forget this. Here's a man that had killed many of this kind. Perhaps even this man himself was on the run from this Saul. And God says, I want you to go to him. I want you to go to him, and I want you to tell him what my plan is. I want you to tell him what I want him to do next. And I want you to notice what this man did. I don't think Paul ever got away from this. I really don't. Look in verse number 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't think he ever got over it. I believe that made such an impression on Saul to know, here's a man, I've killed many of his kind. I've hunted them down like animals. And here's this man calling me brother. Brother Saul. It's a lot of love, isn't it? It's a lot of love. And now here, as we turn to Philippians, as in many of Paul's letters, all of them that I can recall, he's saying, therefore, my brethren, my brothers and sisters. You know, we used to sing a song a long time ago. It was called The Family of God. How many of you ever heard that song? I think Bill Gaither and Gloria Gaither. You say, well, you like all their songs. No, I don't, but I do like some of their stuff. I think Bill and Gloria Gaither, I may be mistaken, but I think they wrote that song, one of the two of them, maybe the two of them. And it says, you know, it talked about, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, aren't you? You know, I believe when the apostle was writing this letter, he's wanting them to know, I'm glad that we're all part of the same family. You're my brethren. And I want you to know, I count you as like family to me. I believe that means something, brethren. Now, you know, I understand in today's society and by the culture of today, family means very little to people. We just heard and we were talking about it. Scott and I rode to church together, and we were talking about this sad misfortune of this animal of calls itself a man, stabbed his mother to death over drugs. And we got wind of this. It was a friend of a family who used to attend church here. And I thought, you know, family doesn't mean what it used to mean, does it? It just doesn't. But you know, there was a time when family stuck together. And there's still people who do that as families and love one another, support one another. And here was this man writing, and he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, we're family. It's important. It's very important. That song says, you may notice that we say brothers and sisters around here. It's because we're apart of the family so near. And it talked about when one has a heartache, we all shed tears. And it goes on to talk about the victories that we share because we're so dear. That's the way it ought to be when you're a part of a church family. This thing of church families fighting and bickering and airing out their differences on social media and out in the community. No wonder people don't want to come to the house of God in many areas, brethren. You know, if you have a difference with your pastor, if you have a difference with the person who sits next to you, handle that in your home, amen. But if you have a difference with somebody who sits around you at church or something going on at the church, handle it the right way. Don't go to the job. I tell you right now, I'm not going down that church anymore. We're going to leave at Fellowship Baptist Church. I'm not saying anyone's doing that. I don't think anyone is. And if I find out about it, I'm coming to you. And I mean that. Because that's not the way you do things. We ought to handle things properly. You're going to have a problem. Deal with it. Scripturally, go to your brother and say, hey, there's offense here. You've offended me. You've trespassed against me. Or if you feel like that they've offended you, or maybe you've even offended them, handle it right. Paul said this. He said, I want you to know that I love you. You're my brethren. Notice what he said, and he said it twice. See that term there, dearly beloved? He did it again at the last part of verse number 1, my dearly beloved. That's says a lot. He said, I want you to know I love you. It's very important that we know that we love one another. You see, when you know somebody loves you, there's things you can do and say that maybe you wouldn't be able to do and say if you hadn't shown and proved that love unto an individual. You know, when I know someone loves me, I'll listen a lot more readily than I would if I didn't think they loved me. How about you? When someone loves you, you know that they have your best interests in mind. And these people knew that Paul loved them. And therefore, he's getting ready to address a very sensitive issue, but he wanted to make sure they understood something. Let's look on and see what he said. He said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. You see that term there, longed for? It means one that I reach out to, one that I pursue. In other words, this is not just talk. It's action. I've shown it. I've reached out. I've pursued you. I've shown you my love. I just haven't told you. I've shown you my love. Look what else he said in verse number 1. He calls them my joy and crown. One man that I read after said that the joy speaks of the rejoicing that he calls them, and the crown speaks of the reward that they are to him. See, Paul, when he went, he no doubt won many people that this letter was being read in the presence of. Many people had fond memories of when Paul and his missionary team was here and was there, and they preached the gospel. This church was formed. My joy, that's now. My crown, that's later. My joy, that's here. My crown, that's there. Amen. He even mentions that in this letter. The crown of rejoicing, these people. Now notice what he said here. He said, my joy and crown. And then he says this, so stand fast in the Lord. Perhaps, and I'm not going to speculate too far here, but perhaps there were some people who were saying, you know what? This situation between, look at verse number 2, Euodias and Syntyche, this situation here has gotten to the place where I think that maybe we're going to go on down the road. I don't know what all transpired, but by Paul making this statement, he said, I want you to know I love you, and I want you to know you're dearly beloved to me, and I pursue you, I reach out to you, you're my joy, you're my crown. He said, I want you to stand fast. Though there may be some talking of quitting, I don't want you to quit. Though there may be some talking about going back, I don't want you to go back. I want you to stand fast. Brethren, can I tell you that if there ever was a time that the people of God ought to come together, unify, be in harmony in the house of God, it's now. Stand fast. Listen, don't quit. Don't you quit. Stand fast. I can't tell you how many times throughout these years of ministry that I've had folks walk into my office and say, well, preacher, I think we're just going to go on down the road. What are you going on down the road for? Well, there's problems here. Well, there's problems there too. Amen. So, well, I want to go to a church where there are no problems. I don't know what to recommend to you. I have no recommendations. There's problems in churches. Now, for our guest here tonight, you may think, well, man, this church has got problems. You're right, we do. We don't have problems like a lot of folks have. There's great harmony in this church. You can sense it when you walk in. There's great unity here. But there's an enemy who wants to disrupt that. And we're human beings, and we're susceptible to that being disrupted. And so we have to be on guard, don't we? We have to be on guard. And we have to work out our differences and not just think, well, you know what? I'll just continue to avoid certain people and not be around them and hold grudges of them, and then everything will work out. I'll tell you what will work out. You'll find yourself working out the door. That's what will work out. Because when you give place to the devil, you'll find yourself moving more in his direction. And the devil doesn't want you in church, especially a good Bible-believing church. Say amen with me now. And I can't tell you how many people over the years now have come and said, well, you know, there's this and there's that. No Bible reason, no scriptural reason, but now I think we're going to move on, preacher. I think you better anchor down is what you better do. Amen? Anchor down. Look what he said here. He said, I love you, I long for you. You're my joy. You're my crown. He said, now stand fast. I like what Pastor Brandon said last week. Be the real deal. There's just a time to anchor down, brethren. There's a time to anchor down. Now, if God wills, we may purchase some property here real soon. We may start a building program. There's going to be some problems. I'm just going to tell you right up, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be some differences. There's going to be some things that do not go the way that you would maybe like to see them go. I'm not talking about misappropriating funds, and I'm not talking about cheat and underhand and not being transparent. I'm just talking about the natural process of going about things. We don't all get the things the way we want them. But that's not why we're here. And we have to keep that in mind. All right? Now, what happened here? Well, look, if you would, in verse number 2. I want you to notice how he worded this. What wisdom. I beseech Euodias, and look at how he said this, and beseech Syntyche. He didn't say, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche. He's calling on them both. And what he's doing here is exercising wisdom, and he's saying, listen, I'm entreating you, Euodias, and I'm entreating you. I want you to know that I'm not here to choose and pick sides. Sometimes it doesn't matter who's at fault. It just matters that we get a solution. Amen? Sometimes we enter into situations and all we're concerned about is, well, I just want to find out who's at fault here. Well, I think it's a good thing if you can. I've been involved in many, many skirmishes, and I'll just be honest with you, I don't know that you can ever get down to who's really at fault. Because when you listen to this person, they're at fault. And when you listen to this person, they're at fault. And somewhere in the middle, you'll find out that they both were at fault. And so, if we're going to solve problems, we're going to have to get our mind off the problem and get our mind on the solution. And that's what Paul's doing here. He said, I beseech you, I entreat you, Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So, obviously, they had differences of opinions, differences of mindset on something. Has that ever happened to you in church? How many of you ever quit a job because your fellow worker didn't agree with you on something? I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit my job. How many of you quit shopping at Walmart? I'm going to get real personal now. Amen. I'm going to Walmart. That's right. I'm going there with you. Hey. You know what I'm saying. Don't let the devil plant a seed in your heart that you need to change churches or you need to quit church because something didn't go your way or something didn't line up with the way you thought it should. Now, I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again. If there's something going on in Scripture, you need to confront your pastor and your leadership. And that's not for now only. That's for when I leave here. If God calls me away or God calls me home, don't you ever sit under a pastor that, number one, will not preach the Bible. If a man doesn't stand behind this pulpit and give you a text and preach either from or to that text, you need to approach him and say, hey, something's wrong here. We didn't come here to hear jokes and stories. Say amen with me now. We need Bible preaching. My soul is lean. I'm out there fighting the devil in the world. I need some Bible preaching. Don't you ever take just stories and jokes and essays. You need a man to open up the Word of God and preach. Things going on, unscrupulous with the finances, you need to approach leadership. Amen. So, well, I'm just a member. That's why you should approach leadership. Don't approach someone else and then someone else and then someone else. Go to leadership. Say, hey, there's a problem. Or at least I suspect they are, and I need to talk to you about it. That's what Paul did here. And I want you to notice what he did. This is very, very important. Don't miss this key thing, and then I'll be through tonight. And we'll come back to this, the Lord willing, Sunday morning. He said, I want you to be of the same mind. He said, I want you to work this out. You're hurting the church. Now, I said what I said earlier about reading these letters before the church, because could you imagine, I don't know who read this letter, you know, maybe Epaphroditus. I don't know who read it. But could you imagine these two women that were in the church, and you say, well, you're picking on women. No, I'm not. Okay, I'm just reading the Scripture. Amen. Thank God for good godly ladies in the church. Amen. Thank God for good godly men in the church. This just so happened to be two feminine names here. All right? And so here they are. And could you imagine when someone said, hey, we got a letter from the Apostle Paul. Oh, really? Man, we hadn't seen Paul in a while. Read it. So the church comes together and they read in the church, and all of a sudden these ladies get their name called. I wonder how you'd feel tonight if the preacher got it and called you out. Yodas and Syntyche got called out. Amen? They did, brethren. See, they're not here tonight, so it's not that big of a deal. But forever, their skirmish is recorded in the eternal pages of the Scripture. I don't know that I'd have wanted to have been there as Iodas and Syntyche when this was read. Oh, it's a letter from the Apostle Paul. Yeah, read it to us. And boy, things are going good. Let this mind be in you. Yeah. Don't think more highly of yourself than y'all. Yeah, tell her. Oh, Iodas is over there probably saying, yeah, get her. Amen. Tell her, Paul. And then he called their name out. Both of them. And they probably thought, yikes. Man. Watch what Paul does here. He said, I want you to be of the same mind. And then he said this. And I think this shows great wisdom. The Apostle Paul was such a wise man. He said, I'm not going to handle this long distance. I'm writing with the Spirit of God. I've gotten word that there's a problem there, and I've gotten word that you two are it. Amen? And I've gotten liberty from the Holy Spirit to call it out and call it what it is. And then he did this. Look at verse number 3. He said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, I'm just going to take a few minutes and we'll wrap up, and I'll come back to this section of Scripture. But watch what Paul did here. Now, many people believe, I can't tell you how many writings and commentaries I searched this yoke fellow. The word yoke fellow, we talked about a yoke this morning, where you get in the yoke. It's another word for companion, okay? The yoke fellow, a companion. Paul's companion, he had several. There was Timothy, there was Luke, there was Silas. He had Titus. He had several companions. But when it really deals with this ministry here, it was our man Epaphroditus. And I kind of believe that's who it is. I can't prove that, but I just kind of believe it is. Because he sent him there, and Epaphroditus had a lot of workings with the church at Philippi. But nonetheless, here's what he said. He said, you're going to have to get involved. This has gone on too long. And we're going to have to nix this thing. You see what sometimes it takes? It takes a mutual third party that'll sit down with the Word of God and with counsel and get the matter settled. I want to give you some advice tonight. You having some problems? Maybe on the job. Maybe in your home. Maybe in the church. You having some problems? And it doesn't seem that you can just kind of come to an agreement and get this thing worked out. Can I encourage you to do something? Enlist a good spirit-filled person that'll be a voice of reason and a third party that will counsel you in getting this matter worked out. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. By the way, Jesus taught that. He said, if you can't get it worked out, get someone and go with you. Isn't that what he said? And that may be what you need to do. Now, I don't know your situation. I don't. I'm just preaching what God told me to preach. I do not know. I have no one in mind. If I did, I might pull a Paul on you, just call your name out tonight. But I do not have anyone in mind. I'm just trying to help give some solution to either some problems to someone now or maybe even down the road. Okay, because they're going to come. There's going to come a time when there's going to be some situations that you've got to work out. And Paul said, I want to enlist my yoke fella, my companion. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to help them. I want you to help them. This thing needs to get resolved. Can I ask you a question tonight? You love your church family? Do you? I believe you do. Y'all love your church family now. I don't know that I'd hang around a church that I just couldn't couldn't love and I couldn't get all in, I just don't know that I would. I've talked to so many people over these many years of ministry, and folks have some of the strangest reasons for hanging around church. I've had people tell me they were going to stick in there because they had burial plots in the back. I don't know. I mean, that wouldn't do it for me. Amen. I'm not going to sit under some soft peddling, compromising, false doctrine preaching preacher for a burial plot. Say amen. There's just, you know, some of the craziest stuff that people say. That they're going to just, you know, hang in there. Let's love our church as we love one another. Let's get involved in ministry. Let's serve together. Let's support one another. You say, it's not like a pep talk. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. The Word of God teaches this. You know that some people, the only experience they've ever had with church is fight, 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 fight. That's not what church is intended to be. I've talked to people who say, oh my goodness, we're having a business meeting. What's wrong with you? Well, you know, at business meeting, Baptists fight like cats and dogs. What? That's not the way it should be. That's not the way it should be. Somebody needs to get to praying. Amen. You see what I'm saying, brethren? You see what God's Word is teaching? God wants us to be in harmony, in unity. We're brethren. We work things out. So if you have a problem with someone tonight, as we stand to our feet, and I'm going to walk over here and get my illustrator. If you have a problem with someone in the church tonight, you won't need this. Okay? You won't need this. In case it's to find their number, so you can call them and set up an appointment to meet with them. But you won't need to be putting those statuses on this. Go to someone and tell them what the problem is. And say, you know what? We're brethren. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is when Abraham made the mistake of going down into Egypt, and he carried Lot with him, and they went down, and you know the story, when they came back out, they had herdsmen, and a lot of riches that they came out of Egypt with, and they grew, and they had all these situations, and there was a contention among their herdsmen, their cattlemen, and it just grew, and Abraham said, hey, you know what, these things ought not to be, for we be brethren. What a statement. You ought to read that sometime again in Genesis 13. We be brethren. And brethren, that's the way it ought to be. I know you're going to have a riff with someone. I've had them. Maybe you and I've had them. You're going to catch me in a time when I'm just not filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? If I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, guess who I'm filled with? You don't want to get to know that guy too good. He can be mean. You know who he is? You say, it's the devil. Well, he's close. It's me. If I'm not filled with the Spirit, I'm filled with me. You don't want to get to know him too good. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're filled with you and your ways. The backslider is filled with his ways. And you know what? When you get two people like that together, there's probably going to be some skirmish and some disagreement. But it doesn't have to end there. All right? So I beseech you, go to that person. If there's someone like that, like I said, it may be down on the job. It may be your neighbor. Maybe you and your neighbor hadn't spoken in 6 months. And it's because Fido done his business in your yard and you hadn't got over it yet. Come on, you got to get that taken care of. Okay? I'm serious. There are people that argue over these things. Can I tell you, 100,000 years from now, that will mean nothing. We have got to begin to live with eternity in view. Let's take care of some things. What about it? The neighbor? Your family? Maybe there's a cousin. Might be a niece or an aunt that just you haven't spoken to because they said something about your family on Facebook status. We need to get these things worked out, brethren. All right? But in particular, right here, God, help us to stay unified. We're an army. We're a family. God, help us to stay that way. Let's bow our